Heimke is from Cleveland, Ohio, and he's the one, he's the voice that you heard if you were here a few minutes early, who said the recession is over. John just joined our program about 2 months ago, and has had, he's been looking at it for some time, and has, and the reason I asked John to be on this call is the month that he joined, he had his biggest month in history. Now, he practices in an area where they have GM plants that are closing. They very much evidence of a recession of that part of the country. And yet here he is, been looking at the program for a long time, and he joins and he has his biggest month ever. So I thought, well, interesting conversation. John, why don't you start by giving us some background?
Well, I graduated from Case in 1989, and then I went into the Army, Fort Benning, Georgia, for my residency, and then was in Europe for 3 years until 1993. Came back to Cleveland, and then established practice, did an associateship, and then bought my own small practice, and then I bought into a larger practice, and currently I'm the only dentist in this practice, and I've been practicing now for 20 years.
Now, John, you've done a lot of, you have done a lot of CE over the years. Why don't you just summarize that a little bit?
Yeah, my CE, I try to take a lot of CE, as most people do. I did take advanced training with Aesthetic Advantage, Larry Rosenthal's group, in advanced restorative and cosmetic dentistry, which was a very eye-opening experience, and it really brought my level of comfort up in dealing with larger cases. I also am trained with Dawson, Spear, and those types of fellows, and kind of follow that type of philosophy. I'm not averse to the neuromuscular or whatever, but my whole concept was I wanted to get very, very comfortable in dealing with arches, full mouth reconstruction, because I really feel that there's not enough of us trained in that. And I have a master's in public health, and one thing that we were learning in my master's was that on the dental side, there is a tremendous need now for rehabilitative dentistry. And most of us are very comfortable in doing single crowns, but only a relatively small percentage are really comfortable in doing arches. And if I can give any piece of advice along with coaching, it is get the training and feel comfortable doing arches, because that is the dentistry now that's going to be in the future. It's not
going to
be good.
So John is extremely well trained as a dentist, like many of the listeners are tonight, are very well trained. What was the impetus? What caused you to, after this many years practicing since 1993, to seek coaching? And you've been looking at this program for some time.
I have, and I did the route of buying tapes and going to the lectures and trying to get little tidbits of information, because I figured, oh, I'm going to be able to collect this all myself. And, I just never really was able to do that. It's kind of like when you take any type of educational training, advanced educational training, be it a master's, be it dentistry, be it, if you want to become an expert in TMJ or whatever, you have to have a teacher and become a student again. And that's what I decided to do, because I was getting haphazard results with my case presentations and my practice leadership ability.
John, you said you told me when you got out of the Army, you put down a goal to take my program. You waited 16 years. You said during that period of time you did a lot of do-it-yourself programs. What prompted the move?
This recession actually did, in a way. It finally pushed me over the edge, because my results with doing cosmetics or large rehabilitative cases, I had about a 30% success rate, and I really want to jump that up to about 70 to 80%, and I know it's possible.
Success rate in what? You didn't clarify that.
Well, In I guess case acceptance, getting the patient who wants this kind of work to show them that it's permissible for them to move forward, and that there are ways to do this and they can implement it, and then I can use my skills and do their case, and I can, then they're going to win and we're going to win. And that dissatisfaction of seeing people that were disappointed after I presented a case to them, because people do become disappointed when they don't get that, because you know they're coming to you for you to help them. And I think most dentists, where we really want to see them get improved, and it's disappointing when that person cannot move forward, and you can tell that they're unhappy too. So that's the big impetus. Also, I wanted to clarify some of my leadership abilities, and really the team was too large, and this concept of the overhead and all that, when it all came together, it's amazing how quickly it kind of coalesces into a critical mass. It's an amazing
You had a big month last month.
Well, in June, I believe it was, we did 166, and that is an all-time goal. We were hovering. Some months we would be as low as 70, and other months we'd be up around 110 to 120, and it just kind of vacillated for the past 3 years in that range. And I never could really pin down why there were so many. It was like a wave. It was like waves, you know, in the mm-hmm. ocean, and that just wasn't right.
Now, you had a partner at that time prior to June.
We were a two-doctor group, and then there was a natural transition, and so I figured, well, we did this transition, so now's the time, you know, there's no time like then to do this. And I'm finding it to be quite cathartic, and it's working quite well.
And that was one of the first things that we talked about, was the purchase of the other half of the practice. As a matter of fact, I believe at one of the point I think I told you I wouldn't work with you if we're still in a partnership.
Yes. Yeah.
So you purchased your partner's practice. Now let's talk a little bit. We know the number now that you produced this second 2 months ago. Tell us about the size of team you have to do that with.
We have basically my wife is the office manager and vice president and CFO actually. We have three other team members, two assistants and a hygienist.
Okay, so you have one full-time hygienist. You have two assistants, and your wife at the front.
Correct.
Now, I do want to point out that Blatchford has no position at all or an opinion on whether spouses, and I do want to use the word spouses, not wives, that should or should not work in a dental office. We don't have any opinion on that. I always ask them if they want one of these jobs, which would it be? And I always also ask the question, if you won the mega lottery, would you be working in the office next week? And whatever the answer is, I say, well, you just won. Because I think if a spouse absolutely loves it, has a valuable position there, it works beautifully. You'll never find anybody more committed. However, it can also be difficult on a marriage, and so if they say, no, I wouldn't be there, and I said, well, great, you just won. So we do not promote one way or the other. We don't have a model for how a practice should be. Our job is to find out what you're looking for and then move forward towards that. John, talk a little bit about, I mean, you've had a lot of technical courses. You've had a lot of you've listed some of the top clinicians in the country in these courses you've taken, and they've taught with you quite a bit about case presentation. But as I've pointed out, many of their clients are dentists. What's happening now? I mean, you described to me on an email just a couple of days ago about a case acceptance that John is just a fledgling as far as asking our questions and things, but it's getting going. Tell us how that case went and what you were amazed at.
Well, the interesting thing is that this case went pretty much textbook according to our recent training. But what was nice about it was there was no pressure. I didn't talk about teeth and veneers and the porcelain that's used and the articulator and the face bow and all that stuff. And the patient basically, I just let them speak and explain to me what they wanted. And this lady was 64. She had lost her job at National City Bank, and she got another job, but she was also older. And she said, look, I have to compete with a lot younger people. I still want to work. And deep down, then I just started to ask her questions. I just probed her with some questions and said, what don't you like about your smile, and tell me a little bit about that. And then she just started to speak and kind of vent a little bit on her frustration with the way her smile didn't satisfy her. And mm-hmm. we got to a point that basically I just kind of nodded and said, yes, and we can handle that, and it's going to be fine. And then at the end of the conversation, which was about 15 minutes, I basically said, well, what would you like to do next?
Compare the two cases, this case versus the one where you ditch your old way and start talking dentistry.
Well, first off, this was much more, it was a lot more comfortable to do it this way. There was one I did yesterday, in fact, where I got into the trap of talking about nuts and bolts dentistry, and the patient just closed down immediately. I went into the cost right away, or at the end of that, and I could just tell that was it. And he goes, no. He goes, I don't have that kind of money. What are you talking about? And the consult ended very quickly. I could tell he was not happy. He was not getting what he wanted. And, you know, even though I had one good the week before, you can just find how quickly, as dentists, I guess, we can fall back into that trap.
Well, this is the thing that I see, is that we've done it a certain way for so long, and we try to educate people into submission. And even though we know that doesn't work, we keep doing it.
Yes.
And as I keep working with you, John, we're not going to have you do that anymore. You're going to keep doing that from time to time. Talk a little bit about what you have done as far as clarifying your vision and how that has helped you.
Well, I call it my USP, or, you know, as they talk about in a lot of business circles. I'm an avid fan of CNBC and Donnie Deutsch, and he talks about the unique selling proposition. And my unique selling proposition, or elevator speech, is basically through facial aesthetic design, I can literally change your life in a few hours to a few days, and I can enhance your facial features all with just a smile and porcelain veneers. And that's it. That's what I do. And that's my vision, is to change people's lives via the smile and improve their facial features. And this is also going to improve their function and all that, but I don't go into that part. I mean, I just told you what I'm all about, and that's what my practice is about.
Mm-hmm. And we've asked you three questions that we've mentioned on some of these other A-book calls. It's, who are we, what do we do, and for whom do we do it? And that's the thing that I think is so critical in coaching, is that you the doctor and the team, first the doctor becomes very clear on that, and if you listen to John, you'll hear he's extremely clear on who he is, what he does, and for whom he does it. He calls himself a baby boomer. What is it you call yourself? For whom do you do it?
A baby boomer dentist. I mean, I like I said, this is the era of the baby boomers. Dentistry is now coming of age, and it's time to put them back together for another. They're going to live till 80 or 90, and probably fairly healthy. I mean, Dr. Weil. Holistic doctor, medical doctor, he says the best way to live life is to live healthy until your 80s or 90s, and then you'll have a very quick drop-off, and then you'll pass from this world. And so that's not a bad way to live. And a lot of these people, a lot of us in the baby boom generation, are going to go that path. And so our task, in, as far as dentistry is concerned, and I'm firmly a believer in this, is that we're going to have to get these patients essentially rebuilt, probably with all porcelain type of restorations in one degree or another, and implants, to carry them into their 80s or 90s. And we better do it while they can afford it, or while they're working, so maybe in their 40s, 50s, or 60s. And then when they go from 60 to 80 or 90, why burden them with a full mouth reconstruction at those ages when they're living off of retirement?
Well, I can tell you, John, I have my parents are 91 and 90. My wife's mother is 97 next week, and I can tell you would not be doing a full mouth rehab in either one of the three of them.
Right.
I was able to do it in both my parents years ago, and they still have their teeth in good shape at this age. Many of their friends don't, but I think as baby boomers, we are simply going to outlive our dentition, and it's going to have to be, for many patients, completely rebuilt. And that, in my opinion, that requires the skills of communication to be able to communicate that value to the patient, so they see the value. We can go to the courses, we can learn how to do it, but the patients don't see the value, and they're the ones that have to make that decision. And I see a lot of frustration out there of dentists who can perform the clinical treatment, but the patients aren't saying yes to them. And I think that is a large part of what we need to work on. And we've already started. Now, John has only been in the program 2 months, and we've already started to work with him on his sales skills, his case presentation skills. He has a seminar coming up in about 1 month from now where he'll be bringing his team of four. How many team did you have when we started?
We had about eight.
Yeah, about eight. So that would have been a little more expensive to come to the seminar in Chicago. But with those four, now, how did you, I mean, you came home from your summit, and this is something that scares a lot of dentists. The summit is where John and his wife met with my wife and I for a day in Chicago. And you came home from that meeting. How did you announce this to your team? I mean, this is what just petrifies dentists. Well, what's my team going to do?
Oh, yeah, they were, you know, they had the classic look on their eyes, like, here it comes. Because we had a few consultants over the years, and there is a difference between a coach and a consultant. But, you know, they had that look in their eyes, like, here he is, he's going to dish all this out today, and then, you know, in a couple weeks it'll go away, or, you know, this or that. And so what we did basically is kind of hint around on what we're going to do and try to, you know, let them know that, hey, you're the key components of this. We have a very tight unit now. And since I was in the military, I think I have an appreciation of small units and how in the Army it's a big thing on having small units do fighting. And so if one person is not in that unit, they're not able to be, it's not really a cohesive force. And I dealt with these types of soldiers because you know, that's what they did. I dealt with nuclear troops. And, you know, if they had a toothache and that person needed to have a tooth taken out or whatever and they were on narcotics, well, they were off duty. Well, that component of that group could not function anymore really as, you know, a key nuclear unit. And this is the same thing in our jobs, obviously not with that degree of, you know, nuclear and all that. But it is true, though, that when you have a small team like that, then they seem to coalesce. They seem to look at each other in a different way, and it's remarkable how now they're working together, and they don't have really much downtime, so they're thinking of ways to make their day better and how to make it run smoother. And believe it or not, I didn't think of it that it would really happen, but they just kind of come together. Again, it's like a coalescing, and it just is marvelous. There's this sense of camaraderie and teamwork. That we didn't see before.
Well, the interesting thing in John's case is his team has not even been to the dynamo yet. And they're already have, well, in fact, they went from two doctors to one doctor. They went from eight team to four team total. And not, it doubled their production, but increased it by at least 75% over, or at least 60% over their biggest month previously with two doctors. And they've pulled together. One thing that we do in our program is I work for doctors, and if the doctor becomes extremely clear on who are we, what do we do, and for whom do we do it, and you start to see the possibilities, and then you make those changes, the team sees it too. It's when, and John, you mentioned there's been coaching and consulting. I'm going to have you elaborate on that a moment from your point of view, but in coaching, we work with the doctor, so that when you become clear as a leader, those team members kind of line up with you. And then we, one of our doctors that we did a call with, if you go to our website, you can probably find the call, Dr. April Zigley, and she mentioned that she has a team. And before we started to work, she had a staff, and a staff's an infection. As a matter of fact, in her case, we went from 14 staff down to 5 and then to 3, and during that period of time we doubled the production. April basically would do right at 2 million this year in a small town in Washington. You can go to our website and find the April Zigley call and listen to about that. But John, tell us what you think the difference between consulting and coaching is.
I think we talked about golf earlier and athletes, and you know there's a lot of very, very talented athletes out there, but for them really to, you know, be at the top of their game, they do get coaches, quote unquote, and you know, Tiger Woods does it, basketball players do it, things like this, because you need that impetus or that fire underneath you to really move forward. Otherwise, just saying, well, I'll do it and I won't do it. I mean, you talk about writing scripts and practicing scenarios. Well, it's true. If you just say, I'll do it, you're not really going to do it. But when you write it down, things happen. And not only has that happened in our practice life, it's also happened in our personal life and family life. It's amazing how these things happen. I'm an avid believer of, you know, I've read the book, The Secret. I do those kind of things because I think positive attitudes really play a very, very key factor in all this. But you need someone to help you along with that so that you can do it on your own. I really don't want somebody holding my hand the whole way, but it's nice for someone to show you the path, and then you can go forward. That's what happened with me with when I learned my skills from Dr. Rosenthal. He's very skilled, and the courses are very skilled in any of these, LVI, whatever, but they permit you then to move forward on your own and have that confidence that you can do it. Mm-hmm. And I think we really need that because that's kind of the nature of our job. We get very isolated as practitioners, and we cocoon ourselves, and that can be a major problem. And then you can't see what's going on, and that's not a good thing.
Okay.
If I may make one other comment, I wanted to say that it was very interesting. We were working 5 days a week. I was working a double shift on Wednesdays, and then a Saturday a month. And my hygienist came to me after the summit, after I talked to her a little bit about some of our plans, and she said, Dr. Heimke, she said, you know, I have an idea. Why don't we take off on Friday and move me to a Thursday, and then we could have 3-day weekends throughout the year? And I said, I think that's a really good idea. And I talked with my wife, and she said the same thing. And we're currently, the hygienist said, when do you want to do this? And Michelle said this, and I said, let's make it happen by September 1st. And believe it or not, today we just got on Smile Reminder, which, again, you referred that system, and I'm very, very excited about that, how that lets patients know via computers, you know, about confirming their appointment and how to communicate with them. And the ladies are just working feverishly to move patients so that we can have these 3-day weekends. It's a very
that's
big
great.
Motivator. And that's not with any talking about any salaries or bonuses or anything like that. That's basically their move because they really like that idea of the 3-day weekend all the time.
John, have you started the bonus system yet?
No, we're going to do the Dynamo first and mm-hmm. see how, you know, and then let them kind of see how this all works, and then we'll move forward with that.
Yeah, I think that's either way works. I think in John's case, we recommended he wait until the Dynamo. Quite a massive change to eliminate one doctor, and that's one of the reasons it sounds like John is working quite a bit more than a lot of our Blatchford clients. But remember, this was a two-doctor practice 2 months ago. And had been for how long, John?
11 years.
11 years with two doctors and 8 staff members. And as soon as he enrolled, we made the changes to buy out the partner. They left very amicably and reduced the staff. And so so John is just barely getting to the rhythm of this. But I think actually we'll probably get him down in time quite a bit more than he is currently. John, one of the things you talked about too was you want to increase your net. I mean, you're one of your big things was to increase your net, get your overhead down, and get your take-home pay up. What are the changes that you've put in place? Now, you mentioned reducing staff. That certainly made quite a difference. What else have you done?
We basically did a complete overview of the practice and our cost situations. I mean, I started with my own personal financial situation and got that completely cleared up. No credit cards, paying things off every month, and just looking at that because if I'm going to do it at work, I want to do it at home first, and that really was a big impetus. I did that in just a matter of months, and then we moved forward with your program. And so we're doing that. I'm taking a very good look and learning now the business of running a business. I I never really did that. And so I think I'm becoming more of a businessman and better able to, you know, review what a P&L is about and really what the P&L that we need to look at is important versus the kind that you get from the accountant, which deals with taxes and depreciation and all that. It's that nuts and bolts P&L that comes monthly where you can see, you know, where your percentages are. I really want to get into that 55% percentage. We are very heavy, obviously, in our practice in Crown and Bridge, which is good. So we have a relatively high lab. I believe our team salaries are pretty good from what we discussed in Chicago. And then we tweaked a few other things. And so now really what our job is, now that we got the financials in order, now we're going to increase our production and our revenues coming in, and that's how we're going to progress and grow quite nicely.
And that is one of, for those of you listening, that is one of my premises, is rather than trying to outrun the overhead, let's get the overhead in line first and then grow the practice. We find that so many doctors are trying to outrun their overhead. You know, if I could just produce another $10,000 a month, if I could just produce what I did once, in other words, if I could just produce every month what I did on the biggest month ever, things would be wonderful. But I'm realistic enough to know that that's not how it works. And I know that John is not going to do, well, I shouldn't say this because I don't want to poison the water, but I was going to say I doubt if he'll do 160 every single month from now on. That may or may not happen. I'd love it if it does, but it may not. But we'll get the overhead down to where we don't have to do 160 a month. If we do 160 a month, we make some money. And that's
right. And I think what can happen is in a period of time of about 24 to 36 months, we can get pretty close to that on an average. It's just going to take, it takes a little time, like anything. When we got out of dental school, we could do certain procedures in a certain amount of time, and by golly, 5 years, 10 years out, you became quite, I mean, you probably cut that time down by 75%. So these things, if you commit it to yourself, you're going to do it.
Speaking of right out of dental school, I have to tell you that I'm sure some of you on the call will find this humorous. Some of you may know my wife and I have a daughter who just graduated from dental school in June. She bought a practice, and she's just completed her second week. And at the end of the first week, she called and said, well, I'll tell you, these 4 days were just absolutely amazing. It made the 6 years absolutely worth it. Anyway, she called me the night and said, boy, Dad, I really got to do something fun today. I got to do a crown prep, and I got to extract a tooth. And the fun part was on separate teeth. As opposed to some of the things she did in dental school. She said, you can't believe how much time you save by not having to get a signature for everything. So that is a real stage of life that we've all been through. Tell us about your new patient flow, and what are you doing marketing-wise? Because I know people are always interested in that. Because at the rate you're going, I mean, 160, but let's say we do 125 a month. How do you create enough new patients to create that kind of income?
Well, I used to be very traditional of the Yellow Pages ad, print advertising and that, you know, the typical stuff. A few years ago, I got into doing some television. I got into doing having a website. We had just a basic website. And then I was at a course about 2 years ago, and I met a gentleman named Jamie Lynch from veneervideo.com. And Bill knows him quite well. He did one of Bill's sites, but he did my site. And if any of you looked at our everyonelovesmysmile.com website, I'm very proud to say I think that's one of the most dynamic sites on the web. It basically is a website that the copy is really irrelevant, but the video tells people who we are and what we're about.
Yeah.
And I would encourage you all to take a look at this, because this is the wave of the future, is having active video so patients can meet you without meeting you. And then they can contact you, and then you can talk about whatever you do. It doesn't have to be just veneers. You might do sleep apnea. You may do Botox. You may do, God knows, whatever you do. You can illustrate it quite well on camera. And the other thing I'm going to tell you is, go to Toastmasters. Learn to speak in front of people. I used to be the shyest guy in the world, and you know, you just have to get in front of people, because when you can do that, you can sit then in front of someone and talk to them and tell them, look, it's going to cost $10,000, $20,000. And believe it or not, if I can do it in Cleveland, you can do it anywhere. And I just want to do more of it, because there's plenty of work. We're all going to, there's plenty of work for all of us, I'm in that opinion. And it's not the money. The money, if you're going to do the work, you're going to get paid no matter what. There's going to be some amount that you get paid. But learn how to do that. Smile Reminder, I'm very excited about that. We just launched that 2 days ago. Get on Facebook, Twitter. Start doing that, learning about social media, you know, and also optimization of the web. If you go to Cleveland and you type in Course and Veneers Cleveland, you'll see that I'm in the top, on the first page, in the top five in those rankings. And that's where I put a good 80% of my marketing money.
And how many new patients a month are you getting?
We do about 10 to 15, but really, you know, as far as the large cases, probably a solid, you know, 5 to 6.
And so remember, this is something I want to point out. Everybody's into body counts, and when I first met John, we started working together, and I'm seeing the numbers, and 10 new patients a month, and I see the marketing, but you see, with the type of marketing he's doing, he's not attracting, people are coming in to get a free whitening or a free exam or something. These people are coming in for a very specific purpose. They're coming in for a very specific reason. And so that's different. And there are different types of marketing philosophies out there. And what I've seen is many of them work. But John is very focused on who he is, what does he do, and for whom does he do it. And I think that makes a huge difference, is that in the marketing. Now, tell us a little bit about what's going on in Cleveland, because it's, you know, it's kind of hard to believe that you've done these kind of numbers in Cleveland, Ohio, or you have a lot of manufacturing there. I believe you have some GM plants that are closing.
Yes. Well, you know, really, Cleveland has been in a recession for 2 years now. I mean, it was a good solid 24 months before the October or September-October recession that hit the country. I mean, we've been in it for a while. So really, when it came, it wasn't as big of a shock to us here in this part of the country, because we were already feeling that turn. Mm-hmm. But I have to tell you, by positioning myself the way we did with the Internet and branding ourselves, we actually, in the deepest part of the recession, which was January, I believe, you know, I believe we sold a number of arch cases and even a full mouth or two. So those people were out there. They sought us out. And again, I didn't have the coaching at the time, but I was able to weather that. And the other thing is, I joined the local chamber a few years ago, and they had a bunch of economic summits, so to speak. And we all different entrepreneurs, we shared different ideas, and that was actually quite helpful. So don't really, you know, don't hunker down in your office. Get out there, and don't, you know, it's not meeting other dentists is what you need to do. You need to meet other business people. And if they're in your town, or, you know, buy some things from their businesses. I mean, go to their restaurants, you know, go buy a typewriter. Not a typewriter, I'm dating myself, but, you know, buy a computer, do something. You know, one of my best things is a local restaurateur. I did his teeth, and then he referred me to an optician. They came, I did that wife's teeth, and I bought glasses from her. You know, we have to stimulate the economy. I mean, so service your local merchants. I mean, then they'll get to know you, and things kind of go from there.
John, your advice on solving this recession is absolutely bulletproof, because all the place where the recession is in people's minds, and people aren't spending money. And I'm going to tell you, doctors, I mean, here I've had John on this call specifically, not because Cleveland has been especially hard hit, and here they're doing well. But, you know, there are parts of the country that are hit worse than others. The town that I live close to here in Bend, Oregon, has an 18% unemployment rate. It's one of the highest in the country. And that's because the last 10 years we were a boom town. We got in every magazine from Best Town to Retire In, Best Town, Best Recreation Mountain Town, Best Golf Town. I mean, all this stuff went on and on and on. and the town grew from 25,000 to 80,000 in 10 years. Well, we had everybody with a pickup truck became a builder. Well, now they're all unemployed. But, you know, you want to remember that a 5% unemployment rate is normal. And for you're in an area that has a 10% unemployment rate, there's only 5 additional percentage that are unemployed. But John has mentioned, don't hunker down. You know, I've had doctors that I've talked to at meetings saying they're kind of a bunker mentality. And I think, well, my gosh, I certainly wouldn't say that to my team. I wouldn't say that to myself. I wouldn't act that way. I would get out and start doing business with local businesses. And remember, that's only 5% more. That's still 90% employed. And I think our employment rate right now nationwide is around 90%. And those 90% are still earning full salary.
I heard, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I heard, I believe it was this morning, there was somebody on CNBC that said, you know, the recession essentially technically is over, but there is this tremendous pool of wealth that is just building and building and building, and this urge to buy is there. It's growing because people still want stuff, and they actually have money. They just took it out, and they're just not spending it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are really in a good position because it's all of a sudden, if you position yourself right, in other words, I increased in the depths of the recession my marketing dollars. I marketed more. And I could see Dennis not doing it. And I talked to labs and they said, oh, they cried the blues like they always do. But I decided this is the time to spend money. And then I'm the only face out there, or one of the few that are out there. Now, as things will start to improve over the next 12 months, people are going to start to think, well, I'm going to get that done. Now it's time to do it. I have the cash. As the confidence level goes up,
they're
going to do it. It's going to be tremendous. Everybody is going to do all types of businesses if we don't get taxed to death from the...
Let me ask you a question. Why did you start the coaching program? Big expense right here in the middle of a depression, or recession, excuse me. I don't want to use the word depression.
Yeah, the same reason. I said this is the time. I've done things on the cheap, and whenever I've done that, I've been burned. And I've come to the conclusion that I'm not inexpensive. I've tried to do discounts. I've tried to give away stuff and all this. And, you know, it never really worked. And somebody told me once, a dentist told me this, I was buying a curing light or something, or a laser or something. The guy said, would you just spend the money and do it? And, you know, I did it, and I think it was with the laser. And, you know, I did it. And by golly, you know, it really caused things to be better. Cases work. And it's the same, you know, you're not inexpensive, Bill, obviously. But when I thought about it, I said, you know, it's just think what you would do in your own life. You know, don't go on the cheap. And we wouldn't have our patients go on the cheap because we're worth a lot. We value our services. And when you look at it, it's just, you know, if this is what you value, if it's a fit, I kind of follow your score. I tell people, if I'm a fit for you or you're a fit for me and we kind of come together, then it's all going to work. But if it's not, then go somewhere else. What the
uh-huh.
heck? I mean, there's always somebody else that's willing to do it either cheaper or more expensive. So you're never going to win on that. Just do what you feel comfortable with. And, you know, it'll work out if you want it to. And if you
at Blatchford, we're actually enjoying the recession. We're having a record year because there are many doctors like you that were feeling a little bit and decided to do something. One of the things that I'm seeing is that people are still earning the money, but they're not spending it. So what that requires, I'm going to tell this to every listener, listen to this, it requires better skills at communication than we've ever done in the past. The success that we had in the last 10 years was incredible. And it's real easy when things are going well and we're successful and the money is flowing to pat ourselves on the back and think, aren't we great? But in fact, the last 10 years, more money was spent by consumers ever been spent in the history of the country. And I'm talking per capita, I'm talking by any measure that you can do. People were spending the money they were earning, they were borrowing money to spend, and never before have people spent so much money. Now, some of those people, obviously with the mortgage situation, are getting in trouble for that, but that's not, those are isolated cases. That's, but people were spending money, and we tend to think when that's going on, it must be us, and I say it was because of the patient base at that time. All right, we have some time. I have a quarter after six, and I'd like to have to be about 10 more minutes here. We have some time for some questions for John, and any question is fair game. You can chat your type your questions into the chat box. I will be able to see them and ask John, or I can you can unmute your phone by hitting star six, and you can ask John or myself any questions that you can think of. And it may get a little noisy here. I'm going to go ahead and start unmuting some of the callers here. So go ahead and ask any questions. Bill Myers, to all participants, well, to all participants, I presume this is to John. What is your best marketing idea?
Get a very good website and have it optimized by a very competent web person. As far as that's concerned, you want to be on the first page, and it's not inexpensive.
And
if you're not paying over $2,000 a month for something like that, if you want to be on the first page.
Rocket Dog Dental in Seattle is one of the sponsors of this call tonight, and they do our website for us, and optimize that. Also, Jamie Lynch at Veneer Video does a website for me called it's called Blatchford Live, and it's a fun website, and you can kind of see what video can do for you. All right, Bill Myers, are you using pay-per-click, John?
Oh, yeah, I was going to talk about that. I tried pay-per-click. It was expensive. But remember, it's going to show that you're a sponsored advertiser. If you search most of the dental terms in Cleveland, you can take a look where I'm at. It'll be Everyone Loves My Smile. And there's Jamie actually explains it like this. You don't want to have one roadway into your Google page. You want to have maybe eight roadways into there to find you. So there might be four or five websites that he has that funnels them to me and to my website. So pay-per-click, you can do it, but it becomes very costly because it's every click. But if you spend almost the same dollars, a little bit more, you're going to get what they call natural hits, which means that's where you want to be. That's where Google starts to rank you automatically, and you come up naturally as some of the top ones. And those are the ones that people most like usually gravitate to. What's happening?
Here's another question for John.
Okay.
From Dr. Bonnert says, and to the host, I guess that's to me, how did you handle the volume of patients going from two doctors to one? I say that most doctors are unemployed, underemployed. That means most doctors are not working to their capacity because they don't have the systems in place to allow them to produce more. Given that we have doctors that are doing from $1.5 million as high as $3 million, working 3 to 3.5 days a week, if you're doing less than that in that period of time, I'm not accusing anyone of not working hard, but I'm going to tell you your systems aren't in place to allow you to do that kind of volume. John, what would you say on that?
I would agree wholeheartedly. I mean, with two doctors, we did have down times where one guy was, you know, surfing the net and reading a magazine, and the other guy was working, or vice versa. And sometimes we work very, you know, we're both working. But the other thing, too, is when you start to look at the day, there are gaps, and you can close that up. The other thing is when you start to present comprehensive treatment, instead of seeing 15 individuals on my side in a day, you can start to go with the block scheduling and say, oh, boy, wouldn't it be nice to do, you know, 5 or 10 units and see that one patient, and I'll have to turn the room around 5 or 10 times. The assistants love that, and then you're doing a crown or two after that, and then in the afternoon you're doing some emergencies and some interim appointments, and then you close it up with some seats. And we're just starting to get into that rhythm instead of having it as a potpourri all day long. And the team is starting to see that. And I said, "See, ladies," I said, in my situation we have all women, but I said, "See, this is a very comfortable way to work." And that's what we're doing. And believe it or not, when you start to work like that, it's really not on a volume basis anymore. And it is very, very enjoyable. And your work is going to be better. The patients are going to like it. And they'll even comment to you. They'll say, boy, things have changed around here. Boy, this is nice. I'm feeling like I'm getting some attention here, and I'm not just a cog in the wheel. And that's quite gratifying.
And to answer your question, Dr. Bonner, it's a whole system that allows that to take place. I mean, we have doctors that have... I went fishing in Mexico a couple of weeks ago with a doctor that we have literally tripled the practice in the last 4 years. He's probably going to break $3 million this year, and it is true he does a lot of implants, but he was explaining to another person along on the trip, and by the way, I do this fishing trip once a year, and I also do a ski trip, and Bill Myers was on the ski trip last year. Hope you're coming again this year, Bill. It'll be the last week of February. It's a whole system of things, and he's able to do that. He just has a staff of four people, or a team of four people. And he said on this fishing trip, he mentioned that if someone had told him 4 years ago that he'd be doing this kind of production 4 years in the future with a small team, he said it was impossible. It never would have worked. And yet it's gradually moved into that. But part of it, he has put every system in place. And he thought he had block booking down when we started, but he didn't. He had a version of block booking, but it was kind of a messed up version, and now they're very strict about it. So that was good. All right, Bill Myers asked a question, John. What is your Whiting for Life program?
That's a program, a hygienist named Wendy Briggs out of Utah. Her website is hygienediamonds.com. Basically, she came up with a system where you can buy bleach very economically, and what we do, it's a reward program, kind of like an airline frequent flyer program. For $99, patients enroll, and they get the bleaching trays, and they get started with two tubes of bleach. As long as they come back for their regular 6 months or whatever schedule we put them on for their pro fees and recall, they will get a tube, maximum two tubes per year. So they'll get a tube at their next 6 months, and so on. It keeps them coming in, and it doesn't cost. Believe me, it's not. It's very cost effective, and they're able to bleach. And then, if they miss, though, then the program is null and void, and they have to sign a little piece of paper on this. And it's been very. Patients have liked that, and you know, they come in, they get their bleach. I'm not a big advocate on bleach. I used to be a Zoom guy. I used to do all the bleaching. I'm a veneer guy. I believe in porcelain. I think it does a much better thing. But there's people that like want to do this bleaching, and I think it's kind of a way of sustaining them until they're ready. And also, it permits them to talk about, you know, the situation, because they say, well, I didn't get the greatest thing in bleaching. Well. You know, I'm not a big advocate of bleach, and I don't like really charging people $500-$600 to bleach, and then 3 months later, 4 months later, their teeth are back to what it used to be. And they always give you a mediocre result. So, my medium is porcelain. And so, The other thing, if I may say, Bill, real quick, is if you want to do a lot of cosmetic dentistry, get your own teeth done. I did it years ago, and it's probably the best thing. My team, my hygienist is the only one that has not had her teeth done, and she came to me about a month ago and said, would you do my teeth? And I said, obviously, sure, and we worked something out. But it's great because I have, Martha is 60 years old. She has her teeth done. Michelle is 40-some years old, and she's going to have her teeth done. Christina's in her 30s. And my wife, Carol, is above 30. And so we can all relate to our patients and say, we've all gone through it. We walked the walk. So,
and your coach is 66, and he's had his teeth done.
Yeah, so if you're going to do this and you have yellow, crooked teeth and you go, well, they're just fine, I'll just have some gold restorations put in the back, think about that. Look at yourself in the mirror.
Here's a question, John. Good point. Here's a question from Dr. Aroka. How do you handle two doctors' patient pool with just one hygienist? I can answer that a little bit. John has done what we call it hygiene titration, and we've determined how much hygiene time he had after answering the three questions. Who does he want to do this treatment for? And one of the things that we find in many practices is they're over-hygiene. That is, they have more hygiene time available than they're actually filling with patients who actually appreciate the kind of work they're doing. And we spend an inordinate amount of time at the front office trying to scrape the bottom of the barrel of our patient pool to get these people in. And so we've actually reduced that hygiene department a bit. John, you like to do that?
Yeah, I would say that's the area I was really, really skeptical about when I heard you talk about it on the tapes and in the coaching, and I really was skeptical. But believe, in the past few months, we went from two hygienists to one, and she's brought it all together. And just last week, I said to her, I said, "Oh, really? Do you need to do 5 days of hygiene?" And we looked at the. I said, "Well, geez, you." On this day where somebody is not here, on this day somebody's not here, I said, when you put that all together, it looks like there's a hygiene day that you're getting paid for that you're not really doing any people. And sure enough, that's what we're doing. We're squishing that down.
And we may, and as we do it, we may titrate it, we may bring it back up. I don't know, but we did the math, and we figured out that John could do it in 5 days. Now they've decided four. And we may bring it back up a little bit. I don't know. But I would say this to all the participants on the call, that many of the clients we take on, we actually reduce the amount of hygiene time available. My philosophy is have it bursting at the seams rather than trying to scramble to fill the schedule every day. I'd rather have it bursting at the seams. And I want it filled with people that appreciate the type of work that we do. I want it filled with people that can afford the kind of work that we do. Okay, time for about two more questions here. And Bill Myers responded, he is coming in February, and he has had his teeth done. Is that new since last year, Bill? I can't remember. Okay, time for one more question. Okay, from Dr. Dingbaum in Illinois. Do you provide laser periotherapy? If so, your thoughts.
I use the soft tissue laser right now for sculpting, mostly on my veneer and the rehab cases. That's an area that I want to take some training in, and I want to get into that because I think it holds a lot of promise.
Yeah, very good. Well, John, I want to thank you very much for being on this call with us tonight and sharing some of your success with the participants. To the participants, further information, visit Blatchford.com. Check out our new book. Read the new book, Blatchford's Blueprints. It's 23 stories, a lot of meat in that book, and you can order that on Blatchford.Weebly.com. That site had a little issue last week, but I believe it's up and running again this week. If not, you can order directly from Blatchford.com. We'll be sending you some emails. Look at them. Read them. Respond to them. Answer calls from a Blatchford rep. And join our coaching program, as John has, and or at least talk to one of our reps and see if it would be a match for you. Thank you very much for being on the call tonight, and have a great summer. John, thank you.
Thank you. And if anybody wants to contact me on any questions, feel free. They can get my email from you, johnheimkedmd at gmail.com or through everyoneloesmysmile.com.
Very good, John. I appreciate that. All right. Good night, everybody.